was a Navi. It was a Talmud of Elio, and it's Brachas Daf Yud Amud Beis. So the Pasuk says that he used to travel around, and then there was the Isha Shunamis, this woman's town called Shunem, that she said, look, this Isha Lakim comes by all the time, let's make him a little attic, and put a mita, shulchan, kisei, menorah, and we'll give him a few, he doesn't need too much, you know, he's an Isha Lakim, won't make him too comfortable, but give him a few things. So the Pasuk says that they did that. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara says, first the Gemara says, V'nosim lo sham mita v'shukham v'kisim v'nora. So, yeah. I'm sorry. V'tomer Elisha, she said to her husband, Hinei no yadati ki ish elokim kodashu. Behold, I know that this man of God is holy. Holy man. So the Gemara says this, from this you see that a woman is more observant when it comes to guests than a man. Okay? Alright. This has to do with the difference in nature. Then the Gemara says like this, Kodashu is holy. So the Gemara says, Minayada. Minayada. How does she know? So the Gemara explains, a fly never went to the soup. So the Gemara says they saw that he was under Ashgacha. But take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say, the Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says, Hine ish ho'elokim. Where's the Pasuk? Hine no yadati ki ish elokim kadashu. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Kadashu minayada. What's interesting about the Gemara? Gemara says, Kadashu minayada. Gemara doesn't say, Ish elokim minayada. I want to say Yeshua Lakim, maybe he was a man of God. Right? Gemara says, no, Kodeshu Minayada. Why? Very exact. Because Ish Lakim means he's a Navi. That we know he's a Navi. But Kadosh? How do we know he's holy? See? That's what the Gemara says. So that's what the Rambam says. That you could know that a person is a Navi, but we accept him as a Navi only because he passed the test that the Torah prescribes for him being a Navi. And he's an Ish Lakim. But Kadosh, how do we know that? That's halacha, like the Rambam says. The Rambam says that we believe in the Navi because of the fact that the Torah says, Al Pishnayim Adim Yakum Davar, same thing over here. Elof Tishman. You see? That's why the Gemara is very exact in its formulation. The Gemara doesn't say, Isha Lakim Minayada. Kadosh Minayada. How do we know that? So you see from the Gemara, that even though he was known as a Navi, but how do you know he's Kaddish? How does she know that? So the Gemara says he had a special Ashgacha, Elisha, that there were flies all over the room, but it didn't go near his soup. So you see that he's under a special Ashgacha. That was the only way. But otherwise, he wouldn't know. In Yadus, it's not merely in Yadus that we're not involved in hero worship. The whole idea is alien to us completely. We don't even know that the person is a Kaddish. We don't know that a person is a kaddish. It's an interesting thing.
They don't go hand in hand.
Yeah, Gemara. Why? The Gemara. What's the Gemara's question? He can't be a Navi unless he's a kaddish. What's the Gemara's question? How do you know? Minayada? Other? No. The Gemara is very simple. Navi, we have to accept. But kaddish, how do we know? Okay. And the same thing is true with the Talmud Chacham. That we don't. The Talmud Chacham. Our relationship to Talmud Chacham is we're chayef to mechabedim. There's no question about that. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, we're paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Esed Hashem lekachatira, even be in awe of him. That's permitted to be in awe of him. It's a chiyuv. The other Tana held being not allowed to. Machlekes tonight. But Rabbi Akiva held that Hashem lekachatira, we're paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Halachik Rabbi Akiva mechavero. So that was Shimon Hamsuni that argued with him. So that's halachik Rabbi Akiva mechavero. So we're paskin that way. But with regard to knowledge of the individual that he's a kadosh, that unless you have the same kind of evidence that the Isha Shanamis has, you don't know. But and that's why I said that in today's world, there's a tremendous catering to the idea of hero worship. I mean, in terms of how people should relate to Gedolei Yisrael as heroes. Which is really alien to our whole theology, to our whole philosophy, our way of thinking. There is the respect for the Talmud Chacham, Yechayev in Kavod. There's a halacha of Hizdabek B'Talmud Chacham. Hizdabek B'Talmud Chacham. Which means a person should take every opportunity he has to be with the Talmud Chacham. He should try to be, to learn from him. To learn from his ways. That's the Talmud Chacham. But there is no hero worship. There is no concept. The moment you say that I know that this man is a Kaddish and you start going off into something like that, that's it. That's in the world of hero worship. The idea of Kadosh is, like the Rambam says, what is the real Kadosh? The real Kadosh is the highest level, the level above the Chacham. The Chacham is the fully integrated personality who uses his Chachma, and whose Chachma is not only related to the particular subjects and areas, but is related to the whole realm of his knowledge. Which includes his existence, the universe, everything, every realm that the human mind can penetrate. His chachma is related to, and he lives according to his chachma. That's the idea of the chachma. But there's one level even higher. The Rambam says, what's the level that's higher? Level that's higher is chassid. What's the difference between a chassid and a chacham? How can it be higher? So the Rambam explains that the chassid is the individual who only has one preoccupation. And what is that? And that is knowledge of God, right. Tzorach la'odam sheyishabe kochos nafsho kulam. It's Perek Chamishi in the Shemona Prakam. Sheyishabe kochos nafsho kulam. Shibud means he should subordinate and control, have total domination over his all his energies. L'fi adas mashik damav Perek Shlifnei Zeh. V'yosim l'neged einov tomid tachlas achas. He should place before his eyes only one tachlis, one objective. V'hu hasogas Hashem yizbarach. The attainment of knowledge of God. Kefi yecholas adam ladas asa. Okay? And then the Rambam goes through extensively. Everything he does is just for that purpose. That's not a chacham, that's a chassid. That's more. It's a different psychological state. Different state. It's a state in which all the energies are subordinated for that one purpose. What I want to do, I want to mention just one thing with regard to that concept. Because the truth of the matter is that everybody, you know, reads what the Rambam says, but I don't think they have an accurate idea of what the Rambam means, really. Rambam says that he should place before his mind's eye only one objective. What is that objective? Hasagas Hashem Yisbarach, knowledge of God. Okay, I mean, to us it sounds very remote. And what? See, in the Oved Me'ava, the person's performance is a natural one. It means there's no coercion. He naturally loves the good. Okay. But over here, he's telling you something different. He's telling you the object, the focus of his mind. What is this Oved Me'ava focus on? What is the attention drawn to? Interesting thing. And what does he say it is? Ladas es Hashem, knowledge of God. Huh? We don't understand what that means. I mean, it's a concept that's very far removed from us. Knowledge of God. I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean, knowledge of God? What is he interested in? Okay? I'm not saying, the point is, of course, why is it so removed for us? Because we're very far from that level. we're so far from the level that it's hard for us to conceive of what it means. We can conceive of learning, of Torah, okay, but knowledge of God, what does that mean? Exactly, what is he interested in? Alright? So, what I would like to just say is just a small point to perhaps open up the area a bit, even though we may not be on the level, but it's like it says in this week's Sedra, the Bali Musik of a Mashal. Sula Mutzav Artsav Arosha Magia Shamaima. I mean, we may be in the ground, but it's important to see what the to have the ladder, to be able to see what the ultimate is, even though we might not be on that level. It's an interesting Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim. We have the Mora. It has nothing to do with really abstract metaphysics. This part on chapter 36. Guy, the first book, chapter 36, page 51 in the Dover edition. Okay. All right. So the Mara says like this. The Rambam says like this. He says that he talks at length about this. He really expands on this. I mean, he considers it extremely important, and it's a very basic point. Very basic point. He talks about the idea that people, the misconceptions people have about God. For instance, the idea that people believe that God has some physical likeness or some emotion even. You see, then God has an emotion. God has feeling. He says this is a terrible thing. And he shows that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah really never had this idea. It's something which people don't realize. People think that even I saw a book written recently about the Yadus, and the person writes about the fact that the Jews are the first ones to discover monotheism. Yeah, but it's not true that the monotheism, in the sense that there's one God. The sense that the idea that there's one God was known a long time ago, even before the establishment of Kol Yisrael, of Maamar HaSinai. Before Maamar HaSinai. I'm not talking about Avraham Avinu either. I'm talking about the Umos Olam. And the Rambam says it openly in the Yadah Chazaka. The idea of monotheism of Yadus is a different concept. It's not the... And today, I mean, today they discover all the discoveries they made corroborate this point. That even the idolaters believed in one supreme being. That's not Yadus' contribution. Yadus' contribution is that we only relate to God, not through any intermediaries. Okay? Because the relating to God through intermediaries is really a rejection of the idea of God, and it's being involved in primitive emotions. There are no intermediaries. That's really what Yadus established. Not the idea that there's one God.
What was the function of the
Kohen? Okay. Kohen is a... No. He says, he's very emphatic about it. He says that anyone, therefore bear in mind that by the belief in the corporeality, or in anything connected with corporeality, you would provoke God to jealousy and wrath, kindle his fire and anger, become his foe, his enemy, his adversary, in a higher degree than by worship of idols. Amazing. Higher degree. Because he says, because the worshippers of idols really believed in one supreme being. The original ones. The ones that are on the higher level intellectually. Okay, there are many fools that followed them that didn't, but the ones that understood a little bit. Okay? So he says, but if you believe that God has emotions or anything physical, that's even worse, you see. And he explains this, and he says like this. He says, and there's no excuse for it. He says, there is no excuse whatever for those who, being unable to think for themselves, do not accept the doctrine of the incorporeality of God from the true philosophers. I do not consider those men as infidels who are unable to prove the incorporeality, but I hold those to be so who do not believe it, especially when they see that Uncleus and Jonathan, he means Jonathan ben Aziel, avoid in reference to God expressions implying corporeality as much as possible. This is all I intend to say. Okay. So the Rambam explains before. This is a very serious Rambam. The Rambam is not talking about philosophers here, like he says. He's talking about any person. He says any person that doesn't have this idea, the false notion of it, is worse than an idolater. And he says there's no excuse. As a matter of fact, he says, if you think that there is an excuse for those who believe in the corporeality of God on the ground that their training, their ignorance, or their defective comprehension, that's not their fault, you must make the same concession to the worshippers of idols. Their worship is due to ignorance or to early training. Same thing. They continue in the custom of their fathers, Gemara says. My savior, same be them. You will perhaps say that the literal interpretation of the Bible causes men to fall on their heads. That's why he says there's no excuse, because you see, Tirgum Unkelus, the Torah was given with Tirgum. Tirgum was given to Maamar HaSinai. There's no excuse for that. Okay. The Rambam explains before, though, a little bit. He says like this. He says, the Rambam says, he speaks about why it is that the Torah is so against so much. I mean, the main theme of the Torah is the abolition of idolatry. That's the main thing. And you see, if you look at the Pesukim, you'll see the only time it says in the Torah, the Rambam doesn't mention this, but the Rambam says the only time it mentions in the Torah anger and wrath is with regard to any Noah favor that a person does. And the Torah say that v'chorah, even though others have found other cases, there's kasha on the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't mention. But the Rambam says, this is what the Rambam says. There's definitely a difference. He says, you must know that in examining the law and the books of the prophets, you will not find the expressions burning anger, provocation, jealousy applied to God except in reference to idolatry, and that none but the idolater is called the enemy or adversary or hater of the Lord. It means no avail in the Torah, no matter what a person does. You find that the person is considered the hater of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, except idolatry. And the truth is, if you look in the Pesukim, you'll see when the only place in the Torah where it says that God will turn against an individual is by Avodah Zarah. All right, it's by Vimhalin Yalim Leinayim Eishahu in Vayikra. It says, right, it's in Emor. Emor Kedosha says Vesamti Ani Esponai Baishahu Mishpachto. And Chazal say Vesamti Esponai Ponani Mikolis Guy. And then you have also in Nitzavim, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Penyesh b'chem sharish pararosh v'lana," the person will feel comfortable, feel secure in his idolatrous practices. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Lo yov Hashem shloach lo, ki yoz yesh Hashem kizur Hashem, v'rov tzavol kol ha'olo haksul b'sefer zel mocha Hashem eshimo mitachas Hashemayim." The only place where it says that God comes out against an individual to utterly destroy him. Utterly destroying. As a matter of fact, it even says in Vayikra, it says that if something is ponai ba'ishahu uva mishpachto, the mishpachto, because they'll say, what's his mishpacha responsible? They say that it's impossible that they're not covering up for him, they do something. Okay? Otherwise he would have been discovered and they would have executed. But anyway, so the thing is that this is considered the worst offense. No other that a person can do. It's amazing. No other a person can do is equal to this. Okay. So the Rambam tries to explain a little bit why this is so. Why is this so? I mean, he says like this. He says, the prophets in their writings laid special stress on this because it concerns errors in reference to God, i.e., it concerns idolatry. For if anyone believes that, for example, Zaid, that's, you know, just somebody, is standing, while in fact he is sitting, he does not deviate from the truth, so much as one who believes that fire is under the air, or that water is under the earth, or that the earth is a plane, or similar things. The latter does not deviate so much from truth as one who believes that the sun consists of fire, or that the heavens form a hemisphere, and similar things. Okay? Yeah. In the third instance, the deviation from truth is less than the deviation of a man who believes that angels eat and drink and the like. The latter again deviates less from the truth than one who believes that something besides God is to be worshipped. For ignorance and error concerning a greater thing, that is, a thing which has a high position in the universe, are of greater importance than those which refer to a thing which occupies a lower place. All right? By error, I mean the belief that a thing is different from what it really is. By ignorance, I mean the want of knowledge respecting things, the knowledge of which can be attained. Right, okay. That was very exact and precise the definition. Okay. Now, so he says again, if a person does not know the measure of the cone or the sphericity of the sun, it is not so important as not to know whether God exists or whether the world exists without a God. And if a man assumes that the cone is half of the cylinder or that the sun is a circle, it is not so injurious as to believe that God is more than one. Okay? Now then he goes into the idolaters, as I mentioned to you before. All right. He says, you must know that idolaters, when worshipping idols, do not believe that there is no God besides them. And no idolater ever did assume that any image made of metal, stone, or wood has created the heavens and the earth and still governs them. Okay? So idolatry is founded on the idea that a particular form represents the agent between God and his creatures. The Rambam expresses, you know, it's interesting, not just the Rambam says this, he quotes it because it's Pesukim, because the Pesuk says, Yirmiyahu says, Milo Yirocha Melech HaGoyim. It's a Pesuk in Yirmiyahu. And a Malacha you have. And he says, V'chol Mokom Mugdish Mukdaho. See? And in every place he says, is offered to my name. It's Pesukim in the Torah, Pesukim in the Nevi'im. As a matter of fact, it's a Rashi. I found a Rashi in Treyasa. Forget which one. Rashi says the exact same thing as Rambam. Exact same thing. Nobody argues this thing. He says, and Ram says, he says, in the end, he says, we have already explained this in our larger work. Yes, he says, and none of our co-religionists can doubt it. Nobody argues in this point. The world does not understand. The world is totally mistaken when it comes to what monotheism is. Totally wrong. They have no idea what it is. They think it means one God. It doesn't do it. It may not have nothing to do with it, but I mean, that's not the idea. That's not the Chiddush. That was known before. And if you take a look, the truth of the matter is, if you ever study the primitive cultures, you'll see it's true. See, what I'm saying is, that's the way it is. It's factual. Factually supported, yes. But what is the concept over here, see? What is the underlying concept? The Rambam, when you read the Rambam, it makes perfect sense, but there's something missing when you read the Rambam. I mean, so I can't make a mistake about a higher thing. I mean, what exactly is, so what? What is going on there? I mean, the concept is like this, really. The point is that a person by nature is a metaphysical being, which means to say, what does it mean, a metaphysical being? It means a person has to guide his life by ideas. See? The animal doesn't guide his life because everything he does is taken care of by the instinctual. Okay, but man is weak in the instinctual. He's deficient in that area. Now, there are certain areas in a person's life that are more essential than others. In other words, what a person eats for breakfast isn't really that important. Okay? So if a person makes a mistake, like the Rambam says, about what he ate for breakfast, it's not such an important thing. But a person's life is guided by what? What guides a person? Certain ideas guide the person. Okay? Now, if a person has a wrong idea in relationship to that notion is the most pervasive. Alright, let me show you. There are notions that are more pervasive and less pervasive. Like if a person, for instance, a certain amount of his life he has to spend being concerned about his health. Right? So the ideas concerning health will be occupy a certain amount of life, more than other ideas. But what a person ultimately should do in life is something which occupies him to even a greater idea. So if a person has a misconception about what he should do in life, he understands very well that a mistake in that area is going to be more serious than a mistake in a lower area. Because this is his whole life. See? This is the essence of... So if a person, for instance, should be a physician and he's a plumber or something else, I mean, he makes a mistake in that area, so then it's a mistake which is greater, not only greater, but it's something which encompasses more of his life. Okay. Now, therefore, it comes out like this, that the essence of a person's life is really his ideas, is the higher part of his makeup. Definitely there's no question about it that a person, the higher part of his makeup involves his intelligence. I mean, you walk down in New York City, you see all the skyscrapers, you won't see that in the jungles of Africa. So the reason is because man is an intellectual being. Yeah. So it's more of his essence. The point is that if a person should make a mistake have a wrong notion about what his intellect is to be used for, so you understand very well that this is much more pervasive. This idea is going to come up more in his life with regard to his essence than any other idea. So there's a hierarchy of ideas. There's a hierarchy of ideas in terms of how much these ideas are used by the person and how important they are. Okay? So that's what the Rambam means. What the Rambam means is, if you have a mistake about whether Zaid is standing or sitting, it doesn't really matter because that's not a universal. But the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that every person is a metaphysician, whether he wants to or not. There's only good metaphysics and bad metaphysics. That's the only thing there is. But every person is involved in a philosophy. Because it's impossible for a person to live. Even if you, an actor, anybody, what is your life? They'll start giving you right away. Well, my life is, I have a successful career, I have a good marriage, I have this, I have that. All this is philosophy. It means that that's the most important thing in the world, because that's what he's living for. Okay? So when a person talks about his life, it has to be speaking about a philosophy. Can't be otherwise. You see, a person by definition is a metaphysician. Now, the idea of God is the most pervasive idea in a person's life, because that means that that's the bottom of all reality. That's the essence of all reality. Okay? So therefore, if a person has a misconception about that idea, it means everything that is the most universal idea that there is. So it means that everything that he does in some is going to be affected. In some way or another, it's going to be affected. And that's why that is the greatest, most harmful evil, that the person should have the wrong idea. Somebody asked me, they said, well, what about if a person says, look, I believe in Chachma, but I believe that the world is like a machine. Machine. I said, one second. A machine. What is a machine? A machine is a concept. That means that to him, the whole universe is a machine. That means that that's his metaphysics. There is no such thing as not having metaphysics. It doesn't exist. There's some idea that has to be underlying what you think reality is, you see. And whatever that idea is going to affect every aspect of your life, of your strivings as an individual, in terms of what your human strivings as a human being, not in terms of what you eat or sleep or in terms of your physical actions, but your actions as a human being, which affect your higher level. That's why Yadus was so concerned that a person must not have any false idea about God. Because if you have a false idea about the basis of all reality, that means that that notion is in your mind. That means your whole life has to be affected by that idea. If a person, I'll give you an example. If a person has an idea that God gives out schar v'onesh, and that's the whole Torah. If you're good, he gives you a reward. If you're bad, he punishes you. Okay? Now we know the Rambam says that a person shouldn't serve God like this because this is a childish way, childish idea, childish notion. He says, but we don't dissuade people if we have nothing better. We try to let them go along until we give them more knowledge. We work with them, try to remove them from that. You don't want to break that away. You don't want to tell them, no, that's false, and that's it. But you let them go along, but you try to introduce knowledge to wean them from that kind of a philosophy. But let's assume for a moment that that's the philosophy. That's his philosophy, okay? I'm not a philosopher. A person will say, God punishes me if I'm bad, and he rewards me if I'm good. But the point is, that philosophy, you can't just say I'm not a philosopher, because the point is, that is a philosophy. That means that your idea is, this is the whole life. All your strivings are going to be affected by that idea, that one idea, okay? Nothing more than that. That God is like a great classroom teacher, okay? That's your whole life. That means that that's it. You understand? Since it's the most central idea, any defective notion over there has to affect everything. That's why the Rambam says that the Torah is so against idolatry, so against Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is, the ideas concerning Avodah Zarah, it means that if a person has any primitive taint there, it's going to affect his whole existence, his whole life. That's why the Torah says that God is angered by this. All this Avera more than any other Avera in the Torah. That's the concept. You understand? So, what I mentioned is because I wanted to share it like this. That the person, that ultimately the greatest person is a person whose knowledge focuses in on the ultimate idea of existence. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's on a level where that preoccupies him totally. You see? It's still distant from us, but I think at least we've been able to place it into a certain perspective here to understand what it means, what the chassid really is. That's his whole thing. His whole thing is purifying his ideas, and his whole existence should be on the highest level. And everything that he does revolves around the true ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. That's the chassid. That's the level of the chassid. You see? That's the concept of the chassid. So the Rambam is saying is every error that you make in every area affects the way you relate to reality. You see, the way you relate. Now the higher a thing is, it means the more essential this is in terms of reality. So it has to affect your whole view. and affects your whole view, it means affects every aspect of your life. The greater the idea, and the greatest idea, and the most important idea, is the existence of God. You see? And that's why in that area the Torah does not tolerate any kind of error. Because that's the great, that's why the Torah says this is the worst evil. The worst evil in Yadis is a false notion. The Chassid recognizes that everything he does revolves around this one idea. And that's why his goal is just one thing, to purify his ideas of God as much as humanly possible. Because that's what affects his whole life. See, that's what the Chassid is involved in. Okay? That's what the Chassid is involved in. The Chacham is a wise person, and he's an integrated individual, he's not like the Golem, but his preoccupation is not that. See? He's concerned, he's interested in all kinds of Chachma, he's interested in physics, he's interested in Torah, he's interested in knowledge and science, he's interested in God's Chachma, he has Avas Hashem, he's on a tremendous level. The Chacham really, the Chacham could be an Oved Me'ava. The Chacham could be an Oved Me'ava. But this Oved Me'ava in the sense that he naturally loves Chachma. But the Chassid is a different thing. The Chassid is the person whose all his energies revolve around this. All his energies are dedicated to this one concept. His psyche is all worked out. Everything is driven towards that one. And he's preoccupied totally with this idea, the idea of the ultimate reality. The Chacham also recognizes it. But it's not the same kind. It's not the same kind of psychic energy investment. You see? It's a different... In other words, a person could be a Chacham Math. But what do you say about Newton? I mean, when he worked on a problem, the days went by, he didn't even realize it didn't eat. I mean, he was like completely involved. So that means all his energies are involved in that. That's the Chassid. That's the Chassid.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the Chassid. An interesting Chazal. Gemara says, we'll come back to this, but the Gemara says we're talking about the idea of hero worship, you know. And I just want to add a couple of things that I think have to do with what we spoke about. So the Gemara says that the Gemara in Seita Dachlaf Aleph on the Beis. So the Gemara says, what is a Rasha Orem? So the Gemara gives different definitions. We'll get to it soon because the Rambam quotes the Gemara. Okay. He makes reference to the Gemara, I should say. But one of the things the Gemara says is, Rav Yosef Bacham Omer Rav Sheshes, that was a Rosh Orem Zeh Machriya Acherim Ba'or Chosav. An interesting Gemara. A Machriya Acherim Ba'or Chosav. What does it mean? It means he causes others to follow in his footsteps. Interesting thing. So Rashi says, what does it mean? It means Re'u Vasu Kamoni. It says, do like me. U'lechu b'drochai, and follow my ways. Lo nischavein ze el laharos atmo kechosid b'enei abrios. So this person's intention is only to make himself appear as a chosid in the eyes of others, the ain telcho kabaro, and he's not sincere. Ella shelo yedaktiku acharav livdok b'toyvosov. Purpose is he wants to ward them off that they shouldn't see the evil things that he does. So what does it mean basically? What does it mean? It means hamachriya chayim brachosov. So what does it mean? I mean every rebbe is. Is it people follow him? I mean, Moshe Feinstein, the Rav, Abban Kotler, I mean, that's... But what does it mean? It means to say that he sets himself up as a model. That's his purpose. You see? In other words, it's the other side of the coin of hero worship. Hero worship is on the part of the follower. You see? But here it's on the part of the leader. In other words, if the leader's intention is to create, to set himself up as a heroic figure, that's a Rosh Aharon. That's a Rosh Aharon. Because it means to say that he is setting his own personality up as the ideal, and not that he is really just a medium or a means of conveying the true ideas. That's the Chazal. That's what Chazal said. So not only Yadus is the institution of hero worship non-existent, not a virtue, or considered a weakness in terms of the person who engages in such type of psychological phenomena, but it's also on the other side of the coin, on the side of the leader himself. That the leader is not any leader that sets himself up as Ru, was Rashi's Lashon, Ru Vasu Kamoni. I mean, he's setting himself up personally as the ideal. Okay? So he doesn't want people to question him. So that even though he does things that are not correct, people aren't going to question him because he set himself up as the ideal. And that's considered a Rosh Aram. An interesting Chazal. In other words, Aram means, we'll soon get to that. And the Aram means crooked, deceitful. Vanochash Haya Aram. The Kol Chaya Hasada. He was deceitful. So you see that the institution is also from both sides. It's considered an evil from both sides. Once it becomes a personal thing, he's setting himself up as a model of perfection, then that's already Russia. Then he's considered a Russia. Amazing Chazal. Considered a Russia. Rashi always, it seems, learned that way. That Shemesh Tamechon means Svara. So he says, what does it mean? It means Kora Mikra Vashana Mishnah Velo Shemesh Talmidachon Lumo Tzvara Sagemora Betameha Mishnah Mahen. He never learned the Svara. So Rashi says, so why is he Russia? Russia, She'ain Tarasso Al Buya. That is, Torah is not on its proper foundation. The aim will mode him anu. Can't learn from such a person. Why? Shall ye day a time in ye shchilik be isa veheter, u bedine mominis lezakos lechayev, u betaris letame letire, kidama bechama duchti. My time oma marhochi, omar hochi, vama my benayu, ikibene akach vakach. Beautiful Rashi. He says, Aram who? So why is he, alright, so he doesn't know. So why is he Aram? What's the trickery, the deceitful wickedness? So he says, Shashameas Kolo Shona Mishnah Yosef, the person that hears him reviewing his Mishnayos, learning his Mishnayos, Kesavu Shabaki Batameyan, the Noginbo Kovit Katamida Chachon. What? Yeah. Rashi means that he impresses the people with his Bakias, but he doesn't have any, he doesn't have good Svar. Rashi, everything's telling us far. Everything's telling us far. It's nice, Rashi. So, say the Chazbez Menach. Okay. Anyways. Sinvayetze. Pasuk, Paraglam and Pasuk Tess. So it says, Atera lea ki omda mi ledes, Atika cha zilpa shechosa la titinos ol Yaakov leisha. So she gave zilpa to Yaakov for a wife. Then Vatel Zupa Shivchas Leil Yaakov Bein Vatamalei Abagod Kishma God tells the way again. Vatamalei. Then the next one was Osher. Okay, Osher. Then it says, then it starts like this. Then Revi. Vayelach Ruven b'meik tzichitim. Ruven went in the harvest time. Vimsa dudoim basada. He found these dudoim, mandrakes, whatever. Vayovei osam alei imo. So he brought them to Leah's mother. So Rachel said to Leah, "Tnino li mi dudoi b'neich." So she said, "Amat kach teichas ishi v'lakachas gam es dudoi b'nei." It's not enough you took away my husband; you want to take the dudoim also. Atomer Rachel, "Lachen yishkavi machalai v'lakachas dudoi b'neich." So you could have him tonight and give me the dudoim. So it says, so Yaakov came from the field, and Leah came to him, and she said that. Elai tavo ki sochas chaticha b'dudoi b'nei, because I earned you by the giving way to the dudoim. And v'yishkev him alav b'laylohu. Shalai yishma l'kim alei alatar v'tel Yaakov ben chameshi. So then she gave birth to a fifth son. V'tom alei nosan alakim schori. God gave me my reward. Asher nasati shifchasi l'ishi. I gave my shifcha to my husband. Okay. So when you read the Pasha, what would you say? I mean, if she'd say, God gave me my reward, what would the reward be for? For giving, for the Dudaim. Doesn't say about Dan. It says Shinasati Shifchosi Leishi. Doesn't say a word about the Dan. And the Dan was the whole thing, was the whole means through which she was able to have Yaakov for that night, and then she had the child. Okay? It has to do with what we were saying, basically. Because we were saying that perfection, really, in terms of the difference between the golem and between the chacham, is what is the difference? Because it means the chacham perceives a different reality. It means he uses his chachma in order to be able to penetrate a different type of reality, and that is the world that's real to him. It's not the same world that everybody else lives in. Same world that everybody else, if a person resides in the same mental world that everybody else lives in, but he's developed intellectually and he's also a nice person, he has good midos, then he's a golem. But the chacham is a person that, with his perfected intellect, can penetrate a different reality, sees a different kind of reality. And that reality he lives in. Not the reality, not the psychological reality, but the reality of the metaphysical reality. So that's the pshat in the pasuk. That if she would have said that, if the fact that she gave way to the Dodoim, that doesn't mean anything. Why? Because it's a mere exchange. So she gave way to the Dodoim in order to have a husband. So it's one thing for another. It's still in the same realm. It's true. It's a good trade, a better trade-off, but the fact is it's still in the same realm. An action like that doesn't indicate that the person's in a different realm. But the fact that she gave Zilpa, the fact that she gave her maidservant to her husband, which is something which is psychologically the most painful thing for a woman to do. So, and she, why did she do it? She did it because, like Rashi says, that the Imohos, all the stories with the Imohos, is because they wanted to build Shiftei Kor. Rashi mentions Pasuk and Pasuk Yizayin Vayishma Lekim Eleya Shehoye Mis'ave Umachzeres Laharbos Shvatim. Shehoye Mis'ave Umachzeres Laharbos Shvatim. You see, that was her purpose. She wanted to be Marbe Shiftei Kor. So that showed that the fact that she gave Zilpa showed that she's in a different reality. That's why she said Nosan Elekim Sfari Nasati Shifchosi Leishi. That's why I got my reward. Because I forfeited the world of the psychological satisfaction, and instead I took in place the world of the metaphysical reality of establishing Klal Yisrael. That's why she didn't mention about the Dodoim. The Dodoim doesn't mean anything. The Dodoim is just an exchange. But this was really the action which demonstrated the fact that she gave up the psychological. She gave up the psychological enjoyment, and instead she took something else. She took the metaphysical satisfaction, different level. It's a different reality. She penetrated a different reality. By the way, I mean all these psukim that have to do with the. You have to understand all these psukim in the proper context. I mean, why did all the psukim? What does that do? It sounds like a race. You know, I mean, who's going to have a more children, and then constantly the question of who Yaakov will favor, So what's the pshat? You're talking about the Imohos. Imohos were Nevi'im. So they weren't on the Jistam level to see that who's the favorite in the eyes of the husband. But the pshat was, the idea was, that like Rashi says, by Sarah. When Sarah gave Hagar to Avram, so she said to her, "Shrechasu shezachisul davik beguf karosh." Yeah, it means to say that the Imos knew who the Avos were, and they knew Yaakov Vina was. So that's why the reason why they wanted to gain favor in the eyes of Yaakov was because they realized that the closer they are to Yaakov, the more opportunity they will have to partake of perfection. It's like Chazal say that a person should be in the Dabek with a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, how could a person be in the Dabek with a Talmud Chacham? What should he do? He says, no say his bito, marry his daughter, business. Right, right. Different. It means to say that he should try to find himself in a situation that he's close to the person, because there's certain things that the practical things that that a person's involved, a person's realm of activity is restricted, then a person should try to be involved in the realm of the activity of the Talmud Chacham, so they can gain knowledge from it. So they can have an opportunity to gain knowledge. And that was really basically that's why the Emos were vying for Yaakov's attention. Not because of the emotion, not because of the personal. It wasn't a personal thing. It was because of partaking of Kedusha. The problem is that people read these psukim, they project their own emotions onto it, because they're not on the proper level. But this is a serious flaw. It's bad enough if a person isn't perfected. But for a person not to be able to view perfection, that is a serious, that's a serious defect. That's why, the Rambam mentions about the Dor HaMidbar. So he says that the Dor HaMidbar were great people. He says that they had Nevuah. Don't think the Dor HaMidbar was inferior to us. But people who read the Torah about Moshe Rabbeinu and the Dor HaMidbar, I've even heard Chashuvim, Rabbanim Chashuvim, talk about Dor HaMidbar, they were sinners, and we would never do things that they did. It's nonsense. And this is, Torah doesn't talk about such people. The people down there born on a very, very high level. And same thing. A person should be careful not to project onto the stories in the Torah that deal with the Ovos and the Emos their own imperfection. Okay. Right, you're right. Rashi says, that's right. Afterwards, Vayisko Lekimus Rochel. Okay. It means the Sira Simona was a forfeit, total forfeiture. Okay, good. Point that I wanted to make last week was that we concluded with an important point was that the penetration of that knowledge, when a person uses knowledge to penetrate to reality, to a different metaphysical reality, the idea, the most central idea of that metaphysical reality is God. And that's why the Rambam says that the Chassid only has one objective. By some kind of underlying reality, some kind of underlying universal. Okay, if the underlying universal could be of a physical type, some kind of underlying reality he believes in. Okay? It may not be one that's worked out logically, but it's some kind of a sense. And the chacham has a different kind of an underlying reality. The underlying reality that he perceives is the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. So that the knowledge of God, the proper ideas relating to God, affects every aspect of his existence. Every aspect, everything he does is affected. Every mitzvah he does. Like I mentioned, you understand what I mean? The more removed our idea of God is from our own imperfections, the higher the level of function will be in terms of everything the person does. It affects everything he does, every mitzvah, everything he does, every aspect of his life, because it is the most central idea. So that's why it says that the chassid is only concerned with one thing. Yedias Hashem. That's the only thing he's concerned with. Okay, that's the essential thing. So you see that all the knowledge that we have, whether it's knowledge of halacha, whether it's knowledge of midas, every knowledge that you have is subordinated to one thing, Yedias Hashem. Ultimately has to find its way to Yedias Hashem. If it doesn't, then it has nothing to do with a person's perfection. That's why the idea that the worst idea that a person has is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Balgufu Tmuna, that God is physical. That would mean that the person's everything he does in life has to revolve around a physical reality, which means it's all worthless. Which means everything he does is worthless. So that's why in Yadis, the ideas, the Yesod Yadas, are so important. If a person has a wrong idea in Yesod Yadas, well, that's what the Rambam says. The person believes that is Eim HaChazon Abad. Even if he's a gadol in Halacha, will not save him, doesn't make any difference. Because every aspect of his life is permeated, is based upon a false notion. And it can't not penetrate every area of his existence, because everything he does is based on that idea, that one idea. That idea is false, everything he's doing is wrong. That's why the Rambam says in the Morna Vuchim that evil is falsehood. Evil is falsehood. The Rambam has a parak on that in the Morna Vuchim. Okay. The reason you arrive at it is because the person doesn't inherently believe that God is a goof. God has a goof. He only thinks that way because of the psukim. But his essential thing is that whatever the Torah means, that's what I consider to be correct. So therefore, it's not really a conviction. That's what the rabbi says. It's not a full-fledged a conviction means that I think this is so. He doesn't say, I think this is so. I think whatever, if you tell him the Torah says God is no good, you believe it right away. He just doesn't know. He thinks the Torah means it. But his basic underlying idea is whatever the Torah means. So therefore, the rabbi maintains that even though he has a false notion, but the false notion is not an inherent false notion. It's based on a premise. It's sort of like a tentative type of an idea. So therefore, the Ravid says, even though it permeates every aspect of his existence, but it's not an inherent idea, he still has a chag malam haba. The Ravid doesn't give him a very big chag there. He says chag malam haba. Okay. So, but the idea is, because it's not inherent. It means he doesn't really believe that way. He's just accepting the authority of the Torah. Whatever the Torah tells me is true, but I think is what that means. That's what the Ravid says. So therefore, that idea is not really the guiding idea. The guiding idea of his life is whatever the Torah means. That's what the rabbi says. The rabbi says, even though it's a false notion, but the guiding idea of his life is whatever the Torah means. That's the guiding idea. He thinks it means this, but it's not because he inherently desires or is happy with that kind of a situation. That's what the rabbi says. So it's not an inherent idea that he really is over. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, as long as he thinks that notion, as long as he has that idea, is Eim L'Chazon Abba. The Rambam in his Pirush Mishnayos really continues the same theme as we've been doing, as we've been discussing in Mishneh Yadalit. Okay, in Mishneh Yadalit. The Mishneh Yadalit is like this. It's an interesting Mishnah. Arba midos b'holchei l'beis hamedrash. There are four midos among those who go to the Beis Hamedrash. Holech v'ein oseh, goes to the Beis Hamedrash and doesn't do. Skarlich abiyada. Oseh v'ein holech, he does and he doesn't go to the Beis Hamedrash. Skar mais abiyada. So he has skar for action, for doing. Holech v'oseh, chosik. Lo holech v'lo oseh, is Russia. So here, it's interesting. So here you have the Mishnah defines what a Russia is. Because all the shemos that we've had so far, all the terms we've had to define the different people, we haven't yet defined Russia. Okay? You define boor, amoritz, golem, chacham, chassid, but one was left out, and that was Russia. Okay. The Beis HaMedrash means the place where the analysis of what is good and what is evil takes place. That's what the Beis HaMedrash is. So it means like this. Like the Rabbein Yonah says. It says, Holech v'ein osa. What does it mean, Holech v'ein osa? He says, Ein ha-kavona she'ein osa klal. Doesn't mean that he goes to the Beis HaMedrash and doesn't do anything. He says, Mash Hashem Beis HaMedrash. He doesn't know. Ki afa nimna me'asiyas ha-mitzvos rosh ha-gomor. Person doesn't do the mitzvahs of Russia, comes. That's a Russia. I mean, holoch v'ein osa, schar alicha b'yado. But what does it mean? He says, acha kavana she'ino mach zachareyam la'soson, u'kishe yevo liyado oso somal mikra. Okay? It means to say, what it means is like this. It means, holche beis hamedrash means that he goes to the beis hamedrash. And he understands the knowledge of what is virtuous and what is not, but he just allows himself his natural nature. He has enough nature to take over. When does he do it? When he's naturally inclined. But he doesn't change his nature. Okay? He doesn't allow, the knowledge doesn't really change his nature. He follows it, but he doesn't really make a change in his nature. Which means to say, like we've mentioned, like we were talking about. In other words, the knowledge doesn't, he doesn't take the knowledge and use it to penetrate to a different reality so that it changes his entire life. He hears the ideas and it goes on naturally. It's like a golem, okay? The knowledge is there, but it exists side by side with his other nature, and that's it. But he doesn't use the knowledge to really penetrate into a new reality. Okay? That's what it means. It means if it's comfortable. When it happens along, when something, he knows what perfection is, and when it happens along, he does it. That's like a golem. But he hasn't used the knowledge to really change his whole world of reality that exists before his mind's eye. See? He just goes along naturally. And if certain things come along, come his way, he does it because he knows what perfection is. But he doesn't use the knowledge to really actively change his whole nature. Okay? And then you have the other one. Osevein aholech lebeis hamedrash. He doesn't go to beis hamedrash. What does that mean? It means he doesn't go to beis hamedrash. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Leida dikto kam mitzvos lahachmir b'hem. Avalosu lefi yediyasu ha-mu'etes. Yesh lo schar basi yezu. So it means a person doesn't really penetrate deeply into what chachma is. So he has a certain kind of schar. But it's a limited schar because he never really can go beyond his own knowledge. It means whatever knowledge he has, he tries to be in line with. But he doesn't go to the base of medrash to really gain knowledge. Okay? Now, take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. His stakel, Eich kora, it's Yudalit. Stakel, Eich kora, Hamabe liknos hamailus chasid. Who does he call the chasid? He says, the one is that, Holech viyosa. Vames ate liknos, that the person who ain't holech viyosa is considered a rasha. Alright? What the Rambam means to point out by that is not too clear. But he says like this. Ukeshetayda hamailos hasichlios and mailos hamidos. When you have knowledge of the intellectual perfections and of the perfections of the traits, the teda kol min mehem, and you know every species of them, in tirtza limur hachochma v'hamaisa. What I mean is limur hachochma v'hamaisa. I mean if you have knowledge of chochma and maisa. So you see like this. You see, in other words, in Yadus, the only way that you can have perfection is every one of these cases we're talking about, you know, like a boor, an amoritz, a chacham, a dalem, all these things, what the Rambam is saying is like this. See? In titza limur ha-chochma, in titza limur ha-chochma v'amaisa, the teda ha-mitzua, the derech ha-maisa ma-she-yikri tovos, and you'll have knowledge of what is the proper way to act and which way is wrong. Okay? So what is Rambam saying? Rambam is saying that you have to know every one of these terms. A person can't be perfected. There's no such thing as a natural state of perfection. So therefore, in perfection, part an understanding what a boor is, a person is perfecting himself. The only way that a person can be perfected is if he has knowledge of all these different designations. What is a boor? What is an amoritz? What is a chassid? What is a... That, if that is really the limud, that's the base of medrash. That's the limud of perfection. Perfection requires a limud. Okay? Perfection requires a limud. And if you don't know these things, then you can't possibly be perfected because you don't have the understanding of man. No, that these terms are a breakdown of human nature, philosophical breakdown of human nature. So therefore, if you don't understand, if you don't have the philosophical breakdown of human nature, it means that you don't really have any, you can't possibly have any knowledge of what perfection is. Okay? That's all Chabes HaMeresh. So he says like this. V'teda tosfos v'chassor nashashneim ra. He says, and you'll know, and the Rambam's always very big on this, the fact that if you go to one extreme or the other extreme, too much or too little, that both of them are evil. He says, but you must also know something else, he says. This is important. What the Rambam is saying is that all these things he's mentioning, if you don't know them, you can't possibly partake of perfection, because you can't partake of perfection unless you have knowledge. So he says like this. He says, one side might be more deserving of being called evil. The other side will be called a sin or an action that's not correct. He says, I'll give you an example for this. He says, Hazahirus, Tov Goma Belis Safek. Okay? Zeirus means that a person lives moderately with, insofar as his tithes are concerned, as far as his desires, okay, his physical desires. So that is called Zeirus. Zeirus is the proper way, okay. Now he says like this. He says that Varova taiva, a person that has a lot of taiva, is a ragomer belief suffer. That certainly is a complete evil. Okay, he says the head there ha'hargasha ba'anah, but a person who does not have any enjoyment out of life, he has the absence of enjoyment, doesn't allow himself to have any enjoyment in life. He says afa pishu ra, even though this is evil, amnam. However, eino karov ha'taiva, it's not as bad as having a tremendous amount of taiva. In other words, being in excess in the area of taiva is far worse than being deficient insofar as taiva is concerned. Even though they're both not good. Okay? So he says, V'yikore chait, this is called a sin, o po'o bilti nachon, an action which is not proper. Okay? Vayitzio min azahirus ma'at latzad heder ha'argasha, and a person who goes a little bit away from the middle road, but he goes a little bit towards removing himself, abstaining from pleasures, min ha'roi l'shlemer. That's the proper thing for people who are perfected. It's an interesting way of wording it. People who are perfected. U'kishetovin zeh inyan, and when you understand this inyan well, teda, you'll know. The neder ha'agasha, person who doesn't have any enjoyments, yikrachote. For lezem abenazim, eshachot al nefesh, kemoshe b'yanam, perikadalad. Okay? Alright, that's it, stop. That's it. Okay. So what is the Rambam, what is Rambam saying? The Rambam saying, interesting, Rambam saying that if you don't, this Rambam mentioned this before, what does Rambam want to emphasize here? That if you don't understand this point well, then you can never really partake of perfection. That all these things that he's saying, in other words, when the Rambam is describing the perfected person, the one that goes b'derech ha'mtzoi, so everybody always thinks, okay, usually people always think that that's exactly what they're doing. They're exactly in the middle. Anybody that has more is on the excess. Anybody less is deficient. But the Rambam's saying more than that. The Rambam's saying is, even if you had a person that was b'derech ha'mtzoi, you see, he still wouldn't be partaking of perfection, because you have to understand why it is perfected. Why it is perfection. Now, if you don't, as long as you don't understand it, you can't. The understanding itself is necessary in order to have the perfection. Okay, and it's interesting. What does he say? He mentions the thing you have to understand is that taiva. We understand a person that indulges constantly in taiva, it's an evil. Okay, a person who refrains from taiva, like the Rambam says in the Perek Ravi, he just refuses to have any enjoyments, any physical enjoyments in life, that's also an evil. But he says that's not as bad as being totally involved in taiva. He says you have to understand that. Okay. So part of perfection is understanding this point. Why one is considered chait and why the other is considered Ra Gomer, B'lisafik. Okay. So it's about, in the fourth parak, it's hot to me, these, I don't know, kind of in our edition, it's in the right column, page 4, a little more than halfway down from where it begins paragraph V. He says like this, he says, U'pomen yachshivu, says, V'harbe pomen yittu b'nei odom b'eila pulos. Many times people will make a mistake in these actions. V'yachshivu echad me'aktsavas tov, and they will think that one of the extremes is good. All right, umayla, umayla sanefesh, and they'll think it's a virtue. Upa'omen yachshivu akotzer rishon tov. Sometimes they think one side is good, the first side. For instance, like kimoshi yachshivu hamasira l'sakonos umayla, a person that is fearless. People respect a person that's fearless individual. Okay, v'yikru hamosrim atzmon l'sakonos giborim. A person that is fearless, brave, what we call bravery. In other words, that's really a person that you give a medal to. Medal of Honor is an individual who showed absolute bravery, lack of concern for the self whatsoever. It would be considered a mila, okay? People consider such a person as having a virtue because he's absolutely fearless. All right, now. He says like this. He says, "Kishir mishu b'tachlus asanidim." When they see somebody that has this quality, "Rutzlam shemos asman sakonas mos asman l'misa b'kavana," he intentionally doesn't care. He puts himself in a situation where he could die. "Upamim yinatzel b'mikra," and sometimes he happens to escape. "Yachshvu v'zev," they will praise him for this, value him. "V'yomer lof shugibah." Okay. Upam yachshu akotza achron shehu tov v'yomer pachas hanefesh shehu savlon. Okay, like it says, sometimes the other side people will make into a virtue. They'll say that a person who is who really doesn't have any self-esteem, they'll say, look how much patience he has. Val ha'otzel, a person that's lazy, they'll say, look how happy he is. Sameach b'chavka, you say he's a happy guy. He doesn't work, he doesn't do anything, he works, and he's a happy guy. I say, he's a Sameach B'chalko. V'al nedar hergish ha'nos l'uvei tivov shehu nizha k'lom yirei chet. That a person who doesn't have any enjoyments, they'll say, you see, he's very firm, he's a very religious person. Okay? Now he says like this. And sometimes they'll think that a person is... They'll consider him a very great person. He's generous. He's very generous. Okay. Yeah. Ram goes on to say, which is these different. You have to have the middle point, and a person can't be too fearless, and he can't be too fearful. As a matter of fact, he mentions that the chait of Yaakov was vayira Yaakov mod vayetzala. He says the Ram says plain shot. I mean Chazal say all different shot. The Rashi brings down, but the Rambam learns plain shot in the pasuk. Yaakov was afraid. It means that he had midas pachdonis. He was a little bit fearful, more than he should have been. So he didn't have enough courage. He lacked in perfection of that midah. That's why the Rambam learns shot. But Tziv says Pshat, Vayir Yaakov Mod Vayetzalo. He says Pshat like this, Vayir Yaakov Mod, he was afraid, Vayetzalo. What does it mean to bother him? Bother him that he had that chassaron that he was afraid. Since he mentions the case that, he says different people, different great people, different true, real chassidim, did various things. But they had different reasons for doing it. Like he says, for instance, He says, for instance, some of the Nevi'im ran into the desert. He said, why? Because they saw that the people were corrupt, and they saw their actions. So Akim Baruch Olam Midbaros from the Makam Shein Sham Adam Ra. That they just like Yemiyonov, he said, Meet Nini the Midbam Molon Orchem the Ezvas Ami the Elchem Eitam Kikulam and Naf Matzeres Bogdim. Because the nation is all. They're all deviated from the proper path. says v'chashero aksilim shachasidim asu ela pulos. When the fool saw that these chasidim did these actions, v'lo yedu kavanasim, they didn't understand what their purpose was. Chashru shem kovos v'chivnu lan. They thought that these were good things, and they try to do the same thing. V'chashrum shiyu kamosim. They thought they'll be just like them. V'yanu as gufosim b'chol mina inui. V'yachshu shehem kavanasim ma'ilo umida tova v'shasim tova. V'shebazeh yiskarev adam l'shem. He says that through doing this, a person becomes close to God. If God hates the body and he wants to destroy it. Okay, then no, these things are better too. Okay. So now he says, now, it's interesting. He says, but he says that a person must always watch himself. A person must always watch himself and to see which way he's going, and to constantly supervise himself until he's in the right path in every midah. All right, yeah, it's an interesting thing. He says, "Kein adam ashal and tzarch lo sheyizkor midos of tamid." He always has to be cognizant, remember, think about his midos. The yishko pulosav, he should weigh his actions. The yibochin tchunos nafsho yom yom, the yivchon tchunos nafsho yom yom, every day he should examine himself, examine his nature. V'chol mashiyira nafsho note letzad kotzim and aktavos, and as soon as he sees that his nature is going to one side more than it should be going in any particular midah to excess, he says yimayer berefuah v'lo yaniach hatchuno harol eschazek. Moshe Zachani shouldn't allow himself to get used to living the wrong way, because then it's difficult to pull out from that type of a lifestyle. Okay? He should place before his mind's eye the bad midas that he has. The biggest Baal Musaf. Okay? He should constantly try to improve his midas. Alright? Okay. She'ef shaladam mibilti chasorim. It's impossible for a person not to naturally have deficiencies. She'afilu sufim kvar amru, the philosophers already said, kovedu v'rochok she'yimtza mishu b'teva l'maylas kulam. It's very difficult and very far-fetched that somebody should, by nature, have his midos all aligned properly. Okay? Yeah. L'rasaloma l'maylas amidus l'maylas asikhli as mizumun amuchan. That a person should naturally be ready to, for intellectual and for, midos. Perfection, ethical perfection. Okay? So he says like this. The idea of the middle path is not that great a guide, because what exactly, how do you know where it is exactly? You understand what I mean? It's a difficult kind of guide that the Rambam is giving us. Middle path. What's the middle? Everybody feels that they're in the middle path. That's the name of human nature. Okay? So, the same thing is true with Frumkeit. True. What is anybody that's firmer than me is a Frumach. And if he's less firm, then he's a... Exactly. He's not Bikaris. That's it. Okay. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, Va'ata yodea. He says, and you know, she Adon Harishonim V'Achronim, Yadon Anavim, Yadon Harishonim, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom, Kvar Omar Elav Hashem Yisborach Liyan Lohem Mantim Bilag Yishini L'Enei Bnei Yisrael, Al Hashem Arisim Espi B'Mei Merivah, Al Hashem Lo Kiddashtem Osim, Moshe Rabbeinu Schaik, V'cheto Olav Hashalom Hu Shenotel. What was Moshe Rabbeinu Schaik? He says Shenotel Tzad Echod Miktzovos Mimaylos Hamidos V'hu Asavlonos Kasher Notel Tzad Aragzonos Ba'omro Shimon Ha'amorim Dictate Olav Hashem Yisbarach. He says like this. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that really all the time was Notel a little bit towards Savlonos, because that's the chosid. That's the chosid. But when he went to the side of Ragzonis, when he said Shimun Amorin, Dictate all of Hashem Yisbarach, Sheyia Adam Kamohu Koes Lefnei Adas Yisrael. There's a God was very upset with him. A person of this stature should get angry in front of Klal Yisrael. B'makom shein roi bar kas u'kiyotze b'zeh b'dinu ishahu chilol Hashem yisbarach. Because they all learned from him. And they thought that by learning from Moshe Rabbeinu they're going to attain the good in this world and in the next world. Kas is bad. Okay. The lo yavol ki mitchunas ros mitchunas anevesh. Avalomru binyin recent piyu kmo shavar, v'hu shelohay medabern in sichlan, v'lo misha ein lo mayla. Avalim anoshim shaktana she b'nisheim oisaki cheskel bambuzi kmo shezachru chachamim. That the even the lowest person was like it was like a cheskel navi. V'chol mashi yomar yase yavchineu. Everything that he did, they looked into him. V'chasheru shakos, and when they saw that he got angry, amru shehu all of Hashalom. Vadai, Hashema, Ainalov Priestess Mida. Definitely doesn't have any defect. Vulule Shah Yodea Shashem is Borch Kosalain of Akashas Amayim, Vashanachnuich Asnuhu is Borch Loya Kois. Vonulomatsino Shashem is Borch Kos Bidabro Elov, Bezer Ingen. Avaloma Kachas Amata Vaklas Eda, Vine Yatsunami Kavanas Ashar, Litana Sophic Misfaki Atura. Shenema bo dvorim rabin. V'nishal pam rabin. Eze chet chota. Urei ma shenem bo ma shemano bo anachnu. V'emes yasa darko. Okay? So what does he mean? So what does Ram mean? I would think that Moshe Rabbeinu is a very perfect person. So therefore, they would never think that he was a koes. They would never think that he's a koes. So therefore, what would the conclusion be? The conclusion would be to their attitude. Their attitude. Give them the incorrect idea about their chet. Okay. About their situation. I mean, okay. It's an amazing thing. It means to say, it's an amazing Rambam. What the Rambam means to say is like this. That, I mean, definitely when Moshe Rabbeinu was cursed on them, it wasn't because they were tzaddikim in that area. They were, in general, they were tzaddikim. I don't mean, but in that area they weren't. In this particular area they weren't acting properly. Because it says Shemino Amorim, right? But the point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't cursed because of this. He wasn't cursed. And Moshe Rabbeinu implied that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a cursed. So what does it mean? It means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, any misrepresentation of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to people in any manner whatsoever is the worst thing that Moshe Rabbeinu could do. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that presented to Klal Yisrael how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Klal Yisrael. So that means if a person is a chote and he does something which is not such a serious offense, and then and Moshe Rabbeinu portrays this as if it's a more serious offense, so then the person has the wrong idea of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing thing, of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Chilul Shem Shemayim. That is Chilul Shem Shemayim. Okay? That is Chilul Shem. That's what the Rambam says. It's an interesting thing. The Rambam says that that's the idea. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was really the one that is supposed to reflect exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a person. So, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he distorts Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any degree whatsoever, that's Chilul Hashem. That's Chilul Hashem. So even though they were wrong, because why did Moshe Rabbeinu say Shemin Al-Mar? They were wrong. But they weren't as wrong as his actions implied. So therefore, he was Nenash. That's what the Rambam said. That's an interesting Rambam. Interesting Rambam. Yes. What is the main idea? Let's go back for a moment to the concept that I did. Rambam's talking about. The Rambam's talking about the in between. What does it mean being in between? See, what the Rambam means is like this. Rambam means that, and how do you know what the means is? That's the question. How do you know what the means is? The Rambam means like this. Rambam is saying that a person usually, by nature, a person tries to find a comfortable emotional niche in his life. That comfortable emotional niche is usually associated with some kind of an idea. Okay? Like, that's why he mentions the idea of bravery. So a person has an idea that becomes a model in his mind. He feels comfortable when he acts according to that model. Or a person may have an idea of religiosity. Religiosity feels very kind. The people that go into that deprive themselves, that enjoy depriving themselves, it's because in their mind they have a certain image that they're comfortable about being in line with. And that is the way most people live. Most people live in a way that they set up a certain image and they live according, they're comfortable if they're living in line with that image. Okay? Now, the image can be made up of a lot of different images. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but there are certain images that stand out. Really, that's the attraction of movies, because movies usually isolates one of the images. And literature isolates one of the images. You see, people enjoy that because they enjoy seeing what when the image in isolation it pulls on their emotions, because they themselves are guided by this. You understand what I mean? That's the attraction of these type of things. Now, the Rambam is saying is like this. The Rambam is saying that a person who is perfected cannot live according to any of those images. But he has to be completely objective. Has to be completely objective. What does it mean, objective? It means like this, that really there are two identities that a person has. And the Rambam doesn't mention it here, but he mentions it, I think, in the Mori. He says the most difficult thing for a person to refrain from is the taivas. Taivas, he gives the example of taivas, but the reason he gives that example is because he says that's the most difficult thing for a person to refrain from. Why? Why? He says, because Aristotle says the reason is because that's something that a person is drawn into from early youth. And the truth of the matter is that it's not just a matter that you're used to the taivas, but taivas give you a different identity. See, a person looks at things other than himself as it. But when it comes to himself, there's an I, the concept of an I. The I, you see, the I, the capital I, is a different, means that the person himself assumes in his mind a different kind of a role. Everything else is looked upon as an it. But when it comes to the self, there is an I. Why is there an I when it comes to the self? You see, what's the difference? Where does the person get this idea to begin with? Difference between, I mean, basically, everything you see isn't it. I mean, it's a something. Okay, it's a something. So why doesn't he look at himself as a something? You see? Because the pleasures in early youth teach a person that there is only one it that I have to be concerned with if I'm going to experience pleasure. So, and that is the I. Do you follow what I mean? Rationally, a person should look at everything as it. Well, why is he different than anybody else? I mean, that's Chazal say, Ani Beria v'chaveri Beria, Gemara says in Brachas. That means, what does it mean? It means that high-level person. Okay, everybody's a Beria, everybody's a it. But the enjoyments that enjoyments that a person has in youth distinguish between him and something else, because he notices that he experiences great pleasure when the it happens to be him. So therefore, it establishes the concept of the I. That's the source of the concept of the I. Okay. So the source of the idea, of this concept of the I, is really physical pleasure. Physical pleasure. If there wasn't physical pleasure, a person would look upon himself as just as another, no different than anybody else. The physical pleasure is that which is, that activity of physical pleasure distinguishes between the I and between the self, in other words, and between everything else extraneous that exists, which is similar to him, but is not him. Okay? Now, the point is like this. The point I want to make is like this. That what the Rambam is saying is that what does it mean by the middle road? See? The middle road is only possible if a person views himself not in terms of the framework of the I, removes from himself that framework of the I, and views himself as simply an existence. The reason why the person can't really determine why the person thinks that his way is the middle road, it's because the concept of the I. See, the I doesn't allow him to have any real evaluation of himself. He's completely overcome with the sense of self. You see, the sense of self means that the self is reality. You see. Now, in order for a person to use the barometer of the Rambam, of the middle road, it's necessary for a person to remove himself from the overpowering idea of the I. The I is the one that looks for the images. See, the I is looking for a certain image. What it wants to satisfy itself, it's attracted to a certain image, which gives it satisfaction. The idea that the Rambam says that a person must review every day, he has to review his go over his midos, think into his midos every day, and he has to determine whether he's going this way, he's going that way, b'chol yom v'yom. What does that mean? That demands, it presupposes one thing. It presupposes that the individual is removed from imagery, from images, and that he's removed from the sense of the I, and that he could look at himself as a beria. You see, if he could do that, that is necessary before any cheshbon nefesh is possible. That's the difference between what the Rambam is advising and just stam musa. Stam musa means you're just going to sit down, you're going to think about your midas. It's very nice. But as long as the person hasn't removed himself from his attachment to the self, you see, and from the images that he's attached to, which satisfy the sense of self, because it's basically the same thing, he's not in a position to judge whether his actions are to one side or to the other side, or whether they're in the middle. So in order to be able to accomplish that, that's what the Rambam means, basically. That's why the Rambam says, when the Rambam says, "Shayisko midosov tome v'yishko pulosov v'yibochein tchunas nafsho yom yom v'chol mashiyir nafsho not l'tzad kotzim en aktzavos yimayar b'rfuah v'lo yaniach ha'tchun arol eschazek." It means to say that he has to be capable of observing his nefesh like an objective phenomenon, like he's observing somebody else. You see? Yes. Clear, but the point is, it's correct that a person who would be on that level, you're right, he wouldn't be drawn to the tivus. I'll get back to that in a minute. But with this concept, I'll get back to that in 1 minute. With this concept, you can understand what the tefila that you say in Nila. In Nila, when you do tshuva, you say, what does the tefila say? It says, "Leman nechdal me'oshek yedeno." Me'oshek yedeno. Me'oshek yedeno means from our desire to grab, oshek, grabbing of our hands. And that's the main idea in tefillah, that's tefillah nila in Yom Kippurim. What is that? That's the only chait in the world. I mean, oshek is one chait. There's plenty other averis. Worse averis, it would seem, than oshek. You know what I mean? Worse averis. No. What does it mean? L'man nechdel me oshek yedenu? Oshek yedenu means that the person is totally overcome by the sense of self. That's oshek yedenu. There is no, that's why whatever he does is right. Whatever he does, it's not a matter of being in the... There's no middle... What do you mean middle road? I mean, that's it. Osher Gedera means me. I come first. Because the Taivas have taught the person that the satisfactions of the self are really those things which are the most important, which are the most important in the individual's life, that they're tied to the sense of self. And Oshik Yadenu is an expression of, the ultimate expression of the sense of self. What does the sense of self say? That this is for me. Is Oshik Yadenu. This is it. This is satisfying the ultimate in man, the ultimate drive in man. That's why that chait is singled out over every other chait in Tfilas Nila. Okay? So let's get back to this point. The question of Bernius was that a person, if that's the case, if a person can remove himself from the concept, from being overcome by the I, he won't care for pleasures anymore. He's just another being, you see? That is true. That is true. And actually, what the Rambam says, that the when he talks about the chassid, he says the chassid only involves himself in the taivas insofar as it's necessary. So when Rambam says the people who go into the midbar and they torment themselves, they torture themselves, he says, Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei HaGuf. It's as if God hates the body. What does that mean? That means to say that they think that the body is something which God wants to destroy, but that's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the guf. So what does it mean? It means there's a way to look at the needs of the guf in a totally different framework. That the person has to have enjoyments of the guf, but because of the way it's constructed, in order that he should be able to function so that he could be involved in the activity in the pursuit of knowledge. But that's a different kind of estimation. A different kind of estimation. It's a completely different kind of estimation. Different framework of estimation. What the Rambam's barometer, see, the Rambam's golden mean, is only possible if it's based upon that kind of a framework. If it's based, as long as the individual has a total involvement with the self, it's impossible to make such a decision as to whether it's the middle of the road or one side or the other. It's absolutely impossible. This just doesn't work. It's crazy. Everybody's in the middle. But the reason why you're in the middle is because of the fact that a person is overcome with the sense of self. If a person removes that sense and he can view himself objectively, then he's able to see what the middle of the road is in terms of perfection, in terms of what is necessary for the guf, what's necessary for the psyche, what's necessary for his well-being. Then he'll be able to arrive at the middle. Now, what the Rambam is saying over there, the one that we started off with, was that if a person is involved in taiva gomor, that's in taiva to the end, that's ra gomor b'li suffet. That is certainly ra gomor. Why is it ra gomor? Because then the self is completely, completely overpowered. If he's involved in taiva to the nth degree, then the self is completely overpowered. If he's going against his taivas, that's a ra. Why? Because he's being guided by an image. See, it's an image of perfection that he's being guided. He feels righteous. It's a certain feeling. It's an image. He's happy now. He's in line with this image. But still, that is not as bad as being totally involved in taiva. Why? Because in the case where the person is involved in the image, still, the idea of the good is, in other words, it's the idea of the good predominates, but it's the good via image. That's bad. That's not the good. It's the good via image. It's not the real good. But it's not as bad as the individual who's completely involved in taiva, which means that he's simply overcome by the self. There's nothing outside the self. There's no objectivity whatsoever. You understand? In the case of the model, there is an element of objectivity. Because he wants to be at the... He follows the Navi. He copies the Navi. The Navi went into the desert because another trying to escape from people. But he goes in the desert because he thinks this is a from thing to do. So he feels very satisfied. He's from, and he feels he's living in line with this image. But in that situation, at least there is some kind of reality as to what the true good is. Okay? The person is involved in taiva to the nth degree, it means that he's completely overcome by the self. That is impossible to, he's much further away, much further away. He's involved in a much greater evil than the other individual. You follow me? I'll tell you, it also, it will make a difference to, from a practical standpoint, I can tell you the following. That if you have Talmidim that come from homes that are just, they just indulge them, you'll see they're very hard. It's very